Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron will not be joining us today.
I've heard that he's trying out for a Blue Man Group. And I'm Jean Marie.
No, he's still at work.
Potato, potato.
Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with a Army veteran and patient advocate, Tanya Henry. Tanya is joining us today to talk about gastroparesis. Tanya is a disabled veteran who has many illnesses. She was diagnosed with autonomic dysfunction secondary to Gulf War illness. Autonomic dysfunction causes issues with things such as temperature dysregulation, hypotension, hypoglycemia, orthostatic intolerance, tachycardia, and gastroparesis. She has some other diseases that impact her life as well, but today we're focusing on gastroparesis. This is Gastroparesis Awareness Month, and she received the Gastroparesis Awareness Month proclamation from the mayor of Killeen, Texas, on August 9th, 2022. She volunteers as an OLE ambassador, which is someone who advocates and helps those with gastroparesis or other GI illnesses that require a feeding tube, TPN, IV nutrition, or an ostomy bag. She has had a jejunal feeding tube?
Yes. Jejunal?
Okay, I said that right. A GJ tube, and currently a G-tube to vent drain only. She relies on TPN now for all of her nutrition and gets that through a port. She also has a gastric stimulator and a cardiac monitor implanted. She is also active in the migraine community as well and writes and moderates for migraine.com. You can find her OLE ambassador information, and we'll put the link on our website. And her gastroparesis story was featured by a local news station back in 2019. And I'll put a link for that on our website as well. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tanya. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
And boy, it's hard being a veteran. It's hard being a woman veteran. But boy, oh boy. You have been through the ringer and then some. So we really do appreciate you taking the time because it must be challenging. Could you start us off by telling us exactly what is gastroparesis?
Yes. Gastroparesis is a delayed emptying of the stomach. And the gastroparesis word itself actually means paralyzed stomach.
Okay.
There can be partial or complete paralysis, just depends on the person's body.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered a motility disorder. People with gastroparesis have a difficult time eating food or drinking because the food is not moving as it should through the stomach. It can cause symptoms such as nausea, vomiting, early satiety, bloating, constipation, malnutrition, weight loss, abdominal pain, and bowel obstructions. And this disease is more common in women. There currently is no cure, but there are a few treatments or medications that can be used to ease the symptoms.
Yeah, that's very intense.
It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, life-changing.
And what symptoms first led you to seek medical care, and was it difficult for your healthcare team to diagnose this condition?
For me, yes, it was. It actually took me about 17 years get a proper diagnosis.
Wow.
Yes. And it started with me having severe abdominal pain, nausea, constipation. And so, you know, I first went to the TMC, the mm-hmm. Troop Medical Clinic. And a lot of the time, the doctors, they're not going to suspect gastroparesis, you know, because they don't deal with it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I was given the standard regimen of Pepto-Bismol, anti-nausea medicine such as Zofran,
right.
and things like Colace, a stool softener, or Miralax. And I was told that it was just constipation or it's just a virus. So no one did any definitive tests back then. And I think I remember my first testing for anything was back in the mid-90s. And that was just an x-ray that showed my abdomen was full of stool.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm once again so sorry. But it sounds very familiar. Yeah. It's kind of put a Band-Aid on it and, yeah, move on. So they had the x-ray showing that that you obviously aren't processing food through the system as usual. Did that allow them to make a diagnosis, or did you have to have more testing?
A lot more testing.
Okay.
No, they, I can remember this was around 96.
Okay.
They just was like, take this, you're very constipated, your stool is backed up, and it'll get better. That was it. I just had a whole lot of symptoms, but I was not vomiting a lot back then.
Okay.
But I did have a lot of abdominal pain and nausea. And, just like many with gastroparesis, I did stay constipated a lot. And I had issues actually running in formation.
Sure.
Yes. It wasn't until later that, they did things such as an upper GI, a barium enema, more x-rays, a barium swallow, endoscopies, colonoscopies. And, like a lot of people, they said, you have IBS. And that was it. Yes.
Wow. Misdiagnosis is a big problem.
Well, yeah, and I guess I can picture, when you're trying to run and your stomach is full, how do you breathe?
Oh, yeah, it's pushing on your lungs, right?
Yes, very hard.
What would you say the biggest misconception is with gastroparesis?
I think it would be doctors telling you that gastroparesis is not serious.
Oh.
I've had a doctor tell me that, yes, there's no cure, but at least you can't die from it. But yes, gastroparesis is very complicated, and it can cause things such as failure to thrive, bowel obstructions, severe malnutrition, and people can die from those.
Sure.
Or if you have a line, you can get sepsis and die from sepsis. So anytime you have anything in your body, you're at a risk of sepsis.
Sure.
So I have a port, a G-tube, a gastric stimulator for gastroparesis. So yes, there is a risk.
Oh yeah.
But I do everything I can to minimize that. And I posted just yesterday on my Facebook page, just a statistic showing people that people with gastroparesis can die from it. And this year, we've lost 25 people in my gastroparesis group.
Oh, geez.
Right. I follow a Facebook group as well on gastroparesis, and I often see that little candle lit up. We lost another angel. I'm like, my God, it's terrible.
Yes.
Terrible.
It is.
Yeah. I guess they really do need to, have more than a two-minute brief about it in medical school and really, talk more about it.
Right. Yeah, these doctors that are saying, that's so serious, but they need to be schooled.
Yes.
Tanya, how have your healthcare team, you're talking about the tubes that you've had, so how have they chosen to treat your gastroparesis over the years, now that you've gotten that diagnosis finally?
Well, the first thing that my doctor did at the VA was put me on Reglan in 2014.
Okay.
And I tried that for about a year and a half.
Reglan.
We stopped it. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We stopped that though because I started having Parkinson-like symptoms, twitching in my face, involuntary movements in the arms and legs, which, it is known for causing tardive dyskinesia.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be permanent if you do not stop it when you start having those symptoms. So after I start losing a lot of weight and vomiting more, I was approved for the gastric stimulator in 2016.
Okay.
That worked for about a year.
Okay.
And after that, wasn't doing so well, and I started losing more weight. My doctor added the J-tube or the jejunal feeding tube in 2017. And then I did regain a lot of weight, but about a year and a half into that, starting having more tolerance, absorption issues, and pain. So then we went from that to TPN September 2019. So I've tried a lot of different medicines, a lot of anti-nausea medicines, and currently I use a lot of IV meds, you know, to help with my nausea and stuff.
Okay. And boy, yeah, that's, again, rough. And I'm sure you do remember the day that you switched over to TPN, because that is such a huge lifestyle change.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Tanya, it sounds like this condition has significantly affected your day-to-day life. And Lita, my mother, and I both know from personal experience how challenging the Veterans Administration Disability Rating System can be in the simplest of situations. How has the process been for you?
It was hard. I actually just got approved and had my gastroparesis service connected back in 2019.
Okay.
But I filed many years ago, you know, under undiagnosed GOFOR illness, and it should have been approved for at least IBS. But even though they said I had IBS, they still denied it. And so this person that does claims told me that should have been approved back when you applied in the early 2000s.
Okay.
So I reapplied and it was finally granted. And I'm personally, I think that if you have gastroparesis and you rely on tube feeds 24/7 or IV nutrition, then you should be at 100% just for that condition.
Yes.
But currently, the highest rating is only 60% for
60.
That.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
And did you get a retroactive disability pay?
Not back to 2005 or 7 when I applied for it. No, they only, I think, backdated it for about 6 months.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, add it to the list.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they really need to have significant improvements to the system. But one element of your patient advocacy is a concerted effort to improve the VA rating systems for veterans. And we're definitely going to support you on that one.
Yes,
tell us about that.
Yes, you know, anytime I see a bill is up for review and they ask for the community or the veterans input, I email them and tell them my story. I have been reaching out to state representatives to ask them to help co-sponsor or sponsor a bill. I have sent letters to the VA. I have actually mailed packets, informational packets, to different hospitals in my area. I've sent it to my VA, the military hospital here, and other local hospitals, because it's not right. You know, I've gone to the ER and the doctor's like, well, what is a gastric stimulator or what is gastroparesis? And he would have to look it up because he's never had a patient come to the ER with it.
Oh, that's so terrifying.
It is. And, you know, I'm a person who I post a lot of stuff and ask people, I say, hey, this is up for a vote. You know, they need your support. So reach out to these people. The more people that express to them that it's a problem, the more likely it will be that they would sponsor it. And the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV, they have the Commander's Action Network. So people can sign up and they will alert you when there is pending legislation. And so, you know, a lot of times you put in your name, your address, your email, and they have this letter that is already set, and they'll email it to your state representative. So that's an easy way. You don't have to make your own letter. They just add your name and email to it, and you'll get an email back stating from your representative.
Right.
Thank you for contacting Senator so-and-so. We value your input, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, that's something. I mean,
yes,
we got everybody's got to take a step somewhere.
Right. And that's something that, we
everybody
can all
do.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll definitely put links for that on our website as well.
And we'll sign up.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tanya, do you any alternative therapies such as like acupuncture, heat, ice, or anything like that help you or make you feel more comfortable even?
That's a good question. Yes. I think it depends on what area is affected.
Okay.
For my gastroparesis pain, I love my heat.
Okay.
Heating pads are great, and I actually keep it on my bed. For other types of pain, I've tried lots of things in the past, like occupational therapy, ultrasound, acupuncture all over. I tried ice and heat and stuff, but the heat is best for me.
Okay.
All right. And what are some of the less apparent parts of your life that are affected by gastroparesis now that you're not in the military? I mean, back in the military, running, that would be a big problem.
Well,
but,
yeah, but it sounds like every minute.
I know, but, you know, you don't think about it. You know,
right.
Yes. One thing that a lot of people with gastroparesis are impacted by is food. You know, most people don't consume full meals. Some are on liquid diets, some are on soft food diets, some are MPO like me. I don't consume any meals, but I do find it very calming to bake baked goods.
Okay.
So, and I cook occasionally for my son who's in his early 20s that lives here, but baking, when I'm having a semi-good day, baking helps bring joy to me because I love to bake and I can smell it. I don't have to eat it.
Okay.
Just smelling it makes me happy.
Okay.
And music also. I love music, so I'm always listening to music.
We just talked to a doctor an hour ago, a functional cardiologist, and what he was talking about was functional medicine has such a big impact on all aspects of life, and he's talking about find something that brings you joy and use it to your benefit, and you're doing just the right things.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, because it's easy to get depressed, and I have seen a lot of people depressed, and unfortunately in our gastroparesis group I have seen suicide as well. So I say, if you have something that brings you joy, do it. And if you don't have something, find a hobby.
Find something that brings you joy, right. Everybody can find something. Good idea.
Yeah.
Good suggestion.
That's wonderful. And I guess I will say, and it must have been exceptionally difficult knowing in your heart that something was going on and that something was wrong, and then being told, you know, just take some Pepto-Bismol and I'll be okay. So, That's you are an inspiration, and we appreciate you sharing your story because of that.
Thank you.
Tanya, what inspired you to be a patient advocate?
I think I've just always been a person who likes helping others. And in high school, I volunteered as a limeade, which is sort of like a candy striper.
Okay.
Then, you know, in the military, I was going to come in as a nurse, but there were no medical jobs available, but I did COMO.
Okay.
After the military, I actually went to school for medical lab technician. So after I stopped working as a CNA, I ended up continuing to be a friend with my home client for years. She used to call my kids her adopted grandkids. So after that, I started volunteering with EFMP, a special needs camp for Fort Hood.
Okay.
And I used to do sponsorship for Relay for Life. And now, I just advocate for all kinds of illnesses out there.
Yeah. Okay, excellent.
That's amazing.
And what support have you gotten during your healthcare journey? Obviously not much from the VA. What role have your family and friends played?
They've generally been very supportive. Anytime I'm doing like an online fundraiser, my friends will they'll help out. If there's something that I ask people to share, they will share it on their pages. I've had people volunteer to take me to appointments, surgeries. I am in multiple groups such as gastroparesis, a women's veterans group, and just whenever I'm involved with something, you know, I reach out to my friends and they always tend to help me.
Excellent.
That's amazing. Good. I think because you're such a giving person, it people sounds like you've surrounded, yeah, you've surrounded.
And that's, and that's another thing that that doctor says.
Yes. So, yeah.
You, when you put the good energies out, the good energies come back to you.
And yeah.
Yes.
Tanya, what do you do to help reduce day-to-day stress?
Well, no, like we mentioned before,
baking
and singing.
Yes,
those are my two big things. And then I have ties to a church here. And I think for me, just having strong faith and praying and journaling also. Yes, I journal occasionally, not every day, but I do journal. And I follow this person who says that every day you should try to think of at least three things that you're grateful for. He does like a gratitude journal. And so I try to do that, think of things. And he's like, think of things that people don't even think about. Just think about like the rain that we've just recently got here, or think about just the ability to breathe and, you know, or walk without problems or whatever it is, you know, be thankful that you have a family, a car to drive,
right?
Just different things like that.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And with everything that you've got going on, I mean, like just, you know,
just medically.
Yeah, medically.
Intense.
You have a very, you have a very full schedule.
Yes.
How do you find time for self-care and how do you have a work-life balance?
Well, I know personally that taking time or making time for self-care is very important. You have to take care of yourself. And it took me a while, but I have learned that it is okay to say no to people and just relax. Don't be stressed about making events. If you don't feel like going and you feel like it's going to be a burden, don't go. Stay home, relax, take a bubble bath, enjoy a movie, listen to the breeze or the wind outside. You have to find something that is good for you. And then I also, I try to schedule things and remember, okay, at this time I have this, I'm gonna do this, call this person at this time. So I put reminders on my phone and my calendar because scheduling things is better for me. I like to put everything on a schedule.
Keeps you organized.
Yeah, and very, maybe a holdover from the military or one of the reasons we're in the military.
Yes.
Tanya, what advice do you have for someone who is just entering the VA system and getting their health care and benefits through the VA?
I would say ask questions. And if you have someone who's been going to the VA a long time, see if they will take you and possibly show you around.
Okay.
There's different Facebook groups that you can join that people can give you information about, you know, how to get things going at the VA. Also, sometimes a lot of information isn't shared because when I started going to the VA, I didn't know that you qualified for travel pay. And until someone told me just this random person just asked me the question and I said no, and he showed me how to do it.
Okay.
So a lot of things too may be offered. Like my local VA has adaptive sports, music therapy, and there are certain items you can get. Like I have a paraffin wax machine from the VA that I use. And I've shared that in my women's veterans group because people did not know if you have certain problems, you qualify for that machine.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Right. You never know, right?
No, unless you never
you
know. And
you gotta ask.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, before we wrap up the episode, could you please tell us what additional tips, hints, or advice you have for somebody that's been recently diagnosed with a chronic illness?
I would say if you are online, find an online support group.
Okay.
There are groups for any and everything out there. do your research, do mm-hmm. your own personal research, because your doctor is not going to know everything. He may not know all of the medicines or treatments that are out there. Mm-hmm. I bring stuff to my doctors all the time and print it out, mm-hmm. share that information with them. Also, sometimes, you know, if you can't afford a treatment, mm-hmm. check into your group or like a chronic pain group or something. There's financial support programs out there. Just connect with people who have your illness, because they can share information or share a doctor network with mm-hmm. you also. You all know who mm-hmm. are the best doctors for
right.
your own illnesses.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Why waste time going to people that aren't going to listen to
right, right, right. Or don't have never heard of it before.
What,
wow.
True.
What's a stimulator?
Yeah. That's wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Tanya. We really, really appreciate you taking the time to join us today, especially when you're not feeling 100%. How can our listeners learn more about you and your advocacy?
They can follow me on the different sites that I'm on. Okay. I am on LinkedIn. I'm Tanya Henry on LinkedIn, and I'm on The Mighty also, and I'm on a site called Social Health Network.
Okay.
It used to be WeGo Health, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I also have videos. I make a few videos on YouTube, but if you go to my channel, you'll see like some other podcasts. I think me getting the proclamation from the mayor is on there. Just different stuff like that. And okay. if they want to read about my migraine articles, mm-hmm. then you can go to my link for that. And all of my articles for migraine.com will be on the site under the patient advocate
okay.
area.
Okay.
And my Oli information stuff is on the Oli ambassadors site.
Okay.
Or that tab.
Right.
Oli.org.
Okay. Yeah, and we'll have links for all of right. those on our page for this episode as
right.
well.
Right. I got my work cut out for me this
yeah.
week. All right. Well, thank you very much, Tanya.
Yeah, we really appreciated it. You taking the time, and we know there's a lot more to your story, and it's very complicated and complex.
Yeah, maybe we can get you on again in the future to talk about another aspect of your disabilities.
Yeah, golf yes. course syndrome especially
right.
and everything. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast.
As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.